Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I am Jim Galante. He is Mike Villagrana, the head of HVU Insider. Mike, how are we doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Jim, coming off a great week. I know we're going to talk about it on the show, but had our fifth HVU Insider show at Pine Grove Hall, and it was probably the best one. And we had a special guest, big-time guest, that being General Manager Derek Hoosier, somebody I know we're going to talk about, and just the evolution of that position and where we're at with the landscape of college football. It's just it's a fascinating position to me. And, you know, based off of that show Wednesday night, I couldn't have been more impressed with Derek Hoosier. And just I learned, like, just off that interview, I learned like a couple of things, which was really cool. But I know we're going to talk about it. But yeah, excited. I know the staff is now, you know, going to be in a dead period now. Well deserved vacation for these guys. And so, yeah, within the next month, these guys are going to be kind of recharging, coming back in July. And then that's when we're going to be talking about football, like football, yeah. football. Now, I know we're kind of in a time where it's just recruiting, right? And I know we talked off air, it's like wins and losses, like right now, because that's all you got to talk about.
Yeah.
But that's just the phase of this year. But yeah, I'm excited. Just really, really proud of that show and you and Chris and what you guys did. So if anybody gets a chance, we'll be posting that online here this week. So please check it out. Really cool show, really excited where it's going and what we have to come.
Well, I'll tell you what, and you and I have talked about this before. We had the opportunity on this show to talk to the prior general manager, Andy Frank. You know how much I wanted to talk to him, and because it's the position, the general manager position, and some folks might think I'm crazy for saying this, I was more interested in talking to Derek Hoosier than I was Matt Campbell.
It's fair, especially for like us that kind of know, like see what's happening with the evolution of the position and how the infrastructure of college football offices are being built. It's fair to look at it like that. And obviously I'm biased because I've been in that position in a lower level. Like yeah. I've never had the full autonomy like he had. So like, it's just fascinating to me. And the way that he's built everything and what he was able to provide us with that information made us feel like really good about like where we're at and him kind of holding the keys to the roster allocation and retainment and all that goes with that. So again, just really impressed with him. And I could see this guy being an NFL GM. I really do. He just kind of has that demeanor about himself. Just confident, but I don't think he gets too carried away with the highs and the lows of, you know, the waves that you get with recruiting cycles and all that. He has a really good demeanor about himself. I've seen him, you know, operate with all types of people, you know, external, internal, coaches, players, all the support staff, myself, my team, and he stays consistent. And I think that's really key for these positions, because when you get emotional on some things, then that's when you do reckless things, right? Based off of optics or whatnot. And I don't think that he has that trait, which is good.
Well, what I found fascinating right off the top, Mike, is you have been saying for months to me, Jim, you'll like Derek. You'll like him. He's a guy. He's just a normal guy, a guy you'd enjoy talking to. And I don't know if you caught it, but he came in earlier than we thought, because we still had the time to go through interviewing the players that were there. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. But he was there well before it was time to interview him. So I had an opportunity to chat with him for a couple minutes. Instantly felt exactly what you said, Mike. Normal guy, could have a conversation, we had talked ahead of time about these were some of the things that I would hit on and ask him. And they weren't, you know, softball questions. I hate to say I'm putting him on the spot, but I think I asked him about things that were important. And his answer, I think his exact wording was, bring it on. You know, I'm ready for it. Ask me the questions. So, and then when we did get on stage and had the conversation, the thing that stuck out to me most, Mike, was how candid he was. He didn't hold back on answers. He presented full answers to the questions. And you said, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if he'd be an NFL GM one day. I'm wondering if he might just be too candid, you know?
Yeah, he always has a way of making you feel so I've been around staffs that are kind of have you on pins and needles and stuff, and you just want to make sure everything is like picture perfect, right? And if it doesn't, the world's ending, right? That's not him at all. And it's a reflection on the entire staff and Coach Campbell. They're not like micromanagers and like on top of you, over your shoulder breathing. They just expect you to do your job, have fun doing your job and doing the best you can. That's kind of like how he is and how he comes off when you hear him talk. But just very interesting, just kind of like Andy Frank. You know, Andy Frank had a very different perspective on things from a general manager type of outlook. And this is the same thing. You know, Derek, he's just a different guy, but he, you know, same mindset, right? When it comes to, you know, these guys are thinking like Howie Roseman's, right? So like the recruiting cycle every year is going to have some highs and lows, right? But you have to have guys like Derek to be able to handle the highs and lows, right? So that they're not making reckless decisions. And he's thinking like Howie Roseman. I know we're going to go into it. And, you know, the past couple of weeks, we've had a couple of guys fall off the commitment board. And that's going to happen this time of year. Every program has it, right? But he can't look at it like, man, the world's ending. He's got to look at, okay, what am I going to do next now? What are my answers, right? So can I go to the portal if we don't get, say, hypothetically, we don't get a wide receiver coming out of the summer? Okay, now I got to look at, all right, the room, the position room, our numbers in that wide receiver room. All right, there's a lot of young players. This is a young team moving forward. So how do those young players develop, right? All right, then it's like, okay, what do I have to allocate for the portal? All right, so the portal, Derek could be thinking, okay, I could maybe go in the portal. Maybe that money I had allocated for a wide receiver out of the high school level, or maybe I could get two portal wide receivers from the FCS level that has experience, or maybe one premier wide receiver that's going to demand a little bit more higher money that has really good experience and production. That's how he's thinking. And that's how I would think. I think that part of it's really fun and really makes these GMs, you know, whether they're good or not. That's how we base, you know, Howie Roseman and the GMs in the NFL. They have to capitalize and maximize every opportunity or any gap that they have. They have to look at it like that. And that's how I look at it. That's why I with me and my team, you know, some of the guys that are posting and retweeting, they get emotional to some of this stuff. I've been doing it long enough that I kind of just take the emotion out of it. And it's like, okay, what's next? All right. How do we, and you know, obviously you got to look back at each recruitment of each kid and say, all right, what was there? Did we miss something, or what did we do really well there? What can we do maybe next time with the same type of situation? All that stuff factors in, but it's a really cool dynamic how the calendar's set up now, because if you do miss on a high school kid, you can replace
recover
actually a more experienced player out of the portal. Now you don't want to miss on 21 kids because you still want high school to be the foundation of your roster and development, right? That's not gonna change. But if you miss one or two kids, the portal is a great, great answer for you. You just don't want to live there. That's all.
Well, also, I got the impression, and I think it's the right way, in a detached way, you have to do it. You now have a budget there's only so many dollars you have to spend. And I got the feeling he was, okay, there's a value on this player. And we got to be careful you don't go crazy to get that one player. Jeremiah Smith, he's the best player in college football, right?
Yeah.
But every extra $1 million you pay him is $1 million less you have for the rest of your team. And I think we've seen some situations where, you know, Penn State has lost out on a recruit, and instantly, as I was showing you a headline, you know, the words are, oh, a disaster. Well, you know, if you allocate too much money, you know, let's put some names on this. You know, Peter Bork is an example. And did he go to the highest bidder? Chaz Coleman might be the better example in the transfer portal. He left Penn State. It appears he went to the highest bidder. And it appears maybe, forgetting what happened afterwards, Tennessee may have overpaid to bring him in. But every extra dollar spent there is a dollar less you have to spend elsewhere. I get the feeling that Derek Hoosier, he places a value on a player. Hey, and if we don't get them because that, you know, someone was willing to pay more, we could use that money elsewhere.
Yeah, I think you saw it with the last staff too. Prime example was the kid that went to Auburn, right? I remember specifically talking to the last staff about that and how that happened, and they didn't want to have to adjust their entire strategy, and that's what was going to have to happen to end up keeping that player. And so they had to stick to their guns and said no. And you got to live with that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I don't know how you would look at that, because I think he had a pretty good year last year at Auburn. But yeah, that's, you can't go out of whack. You have a certain budget, which I think we have one of the better budgets in the country with some of the top teams. We're not Texas or Oregon, but we're right up there. So you just got to stay true to that budget. And you just have to have a plan. And that's what the staff does. They have a plan, and they will have a plan. I thought it was really interesting when he talked about his time at Iowa State, how they never had a guy enter the portal that wanted to leave for, like, you know,
for other money,
than, like, other playing than time. Yeah.
You know what? I want to talk about that a little bit more, because that it talks to the mindset of how you recruit players. We're going to do that, Mike, right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana. This is quarter number two of our show. And Mike, we're talking about the conversation we had with Derek Hoosier at our event at Pine Grove Hall on Wednesday, which was fantastic. Derek was absolutely incredible, I thought. And you were just bringing up the fact that he mentioned, outside of guys leaving Iowa State for more playing time, that type of thing, they didn't lose guys to the portal.
Yeah, that says a ton about the culture. And to me, that really hits home, because we talk about development and culture and what that does to a player once you get them in your program. Well, you hear the narrative about the three-star thing. Well, this culture can turn three stars into five stars, right? And that's what he's done at Iowa State. And we just talked about it off air. The number one cornerback in the country went in the portal from Iowa State and wanted to come here. But Derek and the staff and Coach Campbell had to make hard decisions based on the roster, just like a GM, and had a hard conversation with him, say, hey, look, we have some super talented kids coming back here at the corner position. It may not make sense for you to come here, right? Like that, having that awareness and ability to think like that is going to go a long way in all the other decisions that we make. But it goes back to that culture thing with Coach Campbell and the staff. Like that makes me really excited when you hear things like that. And you can just see it now. Like you mentioned it, our first show, we had some Iowa State guys and we had some Penn State guys, right? And it was cool. It was chill. But now you can kind of see them. It's like they're boys and they've been boys forever, you know? So it's cool to see that just in our lens when we see them on our show.
Well, yes. And I think it was very defined. Like early on, I'd ask the question. They, of course, gave the right answer. You know, well, we're getting together. We're, you know, now you could just see it in their face. Like it was almost like, dude, why are you even asking me that question? You know, it's irrelevant. Yeah. So it has changed. But the one thing I'll kind of I'm going to contradict you just a little bit, Mike. You talk in terms of they're bringing in three-star talent and they turn it into five-star talent. I think they're just better. Well, I'm not saying they're not coaching them up and doing well, but I get the impression that Derek Hoosier said, I don't really pay attention to what the services are saying. We have our own method. And, you know, this you were talking about Jontez Williams was the cornerback at Iowa State who ended up at USC, and Derek talked about him, and he was considered one of the very top cornerbacks in the transfer portal. Just out of curiosity, I went back and checked where he was ranked as a high school recruit a couple years ago. He was ranked 1,596. Now, I'm sure they coached him up well, Mike, but I think just as important was they identified talent. And, you know, we can look at a couple examples, you know, of players that David Tarawali, the offensive lineman.
Yeah.
When this staff identified him and when they first recruited him and got him to commit, where was he ranked? And where is he ranked now? Now, yeah, they haven't done any – they haven't done any coaching of him yet, Mike. Sounds like they were better at identifying that talent.
Yeah, two things that I learned from that conversation, too, that was really neat, was that they have a standard of what they're looking for. They value length, right? I think you're going to see that evolve, and he touched on that. You're already seeing it, that change in the defensive line room, right? That was the number one thing that they had to change. They needed length. And then another thing that I thought was really, really cool, and I haven't heard this before, you know, my time, as a recruiting, guy that had to run some departments, you always have like an evaluation system and you usually don't go off of the good staffs. They don't really go off of highlights. I don't think any staffs really do that anymore. You usually have a system where you have your interns and whoever cutting up film. Right. And so you cut up like usually, you know, the good, the bads, the uglies or something like that. So you can get a real picture of the recruit, not just like a 15 second highlight. Right. What he said he did or what they do, which is really cool, is that they cut it up so that there's all the third down and shorts or all like or the fourth quarters when they're down to a good opponent or like a big fourth down or big plays. Like they want to see the full picture of like when it matters, right? Or when there's some adversity. I thought that was fascinating because that really you really see what the player is that way.
And that is interesting because it gave us a little bit of insight into how they look at things. And I talked to him about, you know, is there I use the Moneyball reference to him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is the idea that the real point to the Moneyball movie is, hey, we could find things that are undervalued. Nobody else will look at these things as valuable, but we will. And that gives us the advantage. So when I mentioned, you know, the movie Moneyball to reference that and set it up, what did he say? I watch that movie every week.
Yeah. I think every, and not just Derek, but like every GM, like that's what we're doing or what they are doing now. And that's why I'm just so fascinated, just because that's where I'm coming from for the last decade. And just to see where it's evolved. And he talked about it. Like when I played, it was the recruiting coordinator was a coach, right? And that was his job. And then maybe there was like a couple of GAs cutting up the VHSs or looking at them, right? Yeah. And then fast forward to when I got into this space, all right, there was about 3-4 guys in a recruiting department. All right, but not, and what they were really doing was just trying to make operations go smooth. So really departments were really more operations, right? Yeah. Now, fast forward to what it is now, it's full autonomy, full NFL infrastructures, right? So it's fascinating to me, and it's really cool to see, to have a true GM like Derek here and to get to know him like this is really cool. And I'm excited for the fans to really get to know Derek and the staff as time goes on.
Definitely. And, you know, they went through this transfer from Iowa State to Penn State. And I can't imagine what they went through during that time period of just a few weeks to accommodate it. But a few points came up, and I asked him about, you know, Matt Campbell and that time frame, how he found out. But he gave something. He said his father told him, and this was prior to this kind of change and whatever going on, this Iowa State to Penn State. His father said to him, wherever Matt Campbell goes, you follow him.
I got chills kind of thinking about like when he said that, just because, you know, his father passed. And that was right before his father passed. So, and I also didn't know that, he was already at Iowa State prior to
Matt Campbell.
I didn't know that. I should have known that, but I didn't know that. I thought that was really neat. So yeah, that was really, really interesting, how it all went down. And he just had his third kid. It's really cool just hearing him talk like that, because these guys are human, man. Like, and to hear him talk about that stuff was insightful, and you just feel for him because there's the human element of that. You know, he had to leave his wife, and coming into this, and he wasn't coming into like he was not sleeping for nights type of deal, you know? Oh. So to get to where we're at now, it's impressive. I said this yesterday, to a couple of teammates. I said, because they were talking about the recruiting and, you know, how we're kind of in a stalemate right now with the three, the guys that are uncommitted. I said, right now, I feel like this staff is playing with house money, with how well they did with the transition, with the roster, and then with recruiting. We had a great wave. We were a top 5 recruiting class at one point. I think we're still in the top 20, top 25, something like that. We're playing with house money right now. I don't think anybody was really expecting that. Right. And here we are getting upset about, you know, a recruit or two. That's a good sign that we're in a good place. So I just see this as house money. It's momentum going into the season. And I really feel that if we start off strong, and like, you know, me, I'm a pretty optimistic guy, I could see us going into the whiteout game undefeated. And what usually happens, this happens every year. I've done this 10 plus years. What happens is you start off hot, and then those guys that were on the fence that you couldn't get coming out of the summer, you start hearing rumblings and rumors that, oh, Keamon Spell wants to visit the whiteout game. You're telling me if one of the receivers don't come here, they're not going to want to come to that whiteout game, you know? And then you're seeing a whole new scheme. And what did we hear from Kobe? Coach Mauser is going to throw that thing. So
yes,
that's going to be attractive. It's going to be sexy to the skill positions. You know, especially if that happens. Now, that's a perfect world, right? To me, that's perfect. But I've seen that happen a lot. It's like I told you off air, this recruiting cycle stuff to me is just like a hamster wheel. You know what I mean? Like the ups and downs and the fans and the reactions and the optics and all that stuff. It's fun. But at the end of the day, Derek Hoosier said, 3-star, 4-star, whatever. It's all about winning games. And I freaking love that. That motto kind of, they stick to that. And I freaking love it.
Well, and winning games translates into recruits also. And then the better recruits translate into more winning. And, you know, you spent time here at Penn State, you know, a decade ago. So, you know, I'm not telling you anything new. How often over the years when a recruit would commit to Penn State and it's like, well, what was it? What was the moment? Oh, the whiteout game.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Almost to a man, they will point at the whiteout game and how critical that was to how they felt about this. And they can start seeing themselves at Penn State playing in front of over 100,000 people in perhaps the most iconic game in college football right now. And I don't think that's hyperbole, Mike, that a whiteout is that important a game in the whole college football national scene. We'll talk about it more when we come back after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He is the brains behind HVU Insider. He is Mike Villagrana, every week coming on and giving us the inside scoop on what's going on with Penn State football. Oh, it looks like you had some company there with you, Mike.
Yeah, my little girl, Cameron, out here. She's ready to get this Father's Day rolling today. So, she's out here on the deck. I'm out here on the deck. You can probably hear the birds out here. It's like I'm on the course.
Well, it's a nice day. That's what it sounds like at Augusta, you know, when you hear the birds chirping in the background when they're covering the Masters. Anyway, Mike, we were talking about in recruiting the whole process, Matt Campbell, Derek Hoosier, the entire staff is dealing with this whole thing, the changeover. They don't have established relationships with schools in the Northeast. They haven't won a game yet at Penn State, which is one of the important things, as you've pointed out many a time on this show. But we were talking about going forward, and those of us who follow the recruiting and get all worked up with every decommitment and so on, there's still that ace in the hole that Penn State has, which is the whiteout. First of all, the season going on, you win some games. Good chance at this team to be undefeated going into the game against USC, which we anticipate to be the whiteout. There's going to be a lot of recruits there. And it's an important game. It's an important time for recruiting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a challenging game, to be honest, from an operational standpoint, because you put all your eggs in your basket for this game, and you try to maximize it with every single person, donor, dignitary, recruits, family. It is a lot. It's a ton, and sometimes you can try to jam it in so many different things that it can take away from a certain person or a recruit. So that's a challenge that I've seen. But this game, that game, the season and as a whole, is really kind of the last round in this recruiting cycle, and I like to call it like a boxing match, right? And So that's like the last round. And if we do well, you know, I think you're going to start seeing, like I said in the last segment, you'll start hearing rumblings about a Keymon Spell or whoever else back at Penn State or back at, in the fold. I think you'll hear that. I saw it happen like real time when I was here in 2015 to 2017. I came in Christian Hackenberg's senior season. Right. And it wasn't the greatest season to our standards, I guess. You know, we ended up going, I think, playing in the Gator Bowl that year. But the recruiting going on behind the scenes, it was tough. We were losing guys, a lot of guys to Michigan. That was right when Harbaugh had just came in. We were losing guys to Stanford. We're losing guys that we're not losing to schools now. Right. But yeah. And then comes 2016, we win the Big Ten championship, right? Like that was one of my favorite seasons just because we're going to Temple and they're booing Coach Franklin. And I'm like, oh, shoot, well, we're going to move again probably. You know, but then that season changed after the overtime versus Minnesota. And then, you know, fast forward to an unbelievable season. We had big time stars, you know, we had stars, studs across the table that recruits loved. And then you saw an uptick in our recruitment. And then that last year I was there, that recruiting staff with that recruiting class with Micah and Pats and Always, that was like one of my favorite classes. That class, to me, really took Penn State to another level in recruitment. Right. And ever since then, you just continue to see them scale because they were winning games and they were continuing to bring in better and better recruiting classes. So, yeah, I think that's what you're going to see here. You're going to really see kind of like this is the baseline, right? Like there's no games have been won or lost on the field. Still kind of like a honeymoon period. We're new staff figuring all the ins and outs. So if this is the baseline, I think we're going to be in a really good position moving forward with recruitment.
I want to get back to our conversation again with Derek Hoosier. And earlier I had mentioned, you know, his father told him, he said, wherever Matt Campbell goes, you follow him. But I asked him about, was he caught off guard with Matt Campbell leaving? Because he had been had offers before. He had always stayed at Iowa State.
For 10 years, Matt Campbell was the hottest name. Every year he was like his name was in the mix for whatever job. Every year.
So I thought I might get an answer of, I had planned on being at Iowa State forever, you know, with Matt Campbell. But he didn't say that. What he said was, well, I always knew this day was coming, and I knew that Penn State was a job that he would want and that he wanted this. So when that opportunity came, Derek Hoosier was not surprised that Matt Campbell was coming to Penn State. That also, I thought, was very telling about the value of this brand, the Penn State Nittany Lions, how important it is.
Yeah, and it kind of gives me chills just thinking because I feel like the staff and Hoosier and them, they're just such a good fit for Penn State, and Penn State is such a good fit for them. Like, it's a really good marriage. Obviously, we haven't played a game yet. I understand that. But right now, I feel so good about this staff and the fit here and the culture moving forward. Like, it's a new day. It's a good day to be a Penn State fan. And I'm excited for the season. Like we're there. We're at the point where it's like, okay, let's get this season going.
You and I are ready to, you know, strap it on and get out on the field. And
you know what else was cool that that he mentioned was that, and remind me when he said he told him, didn't it just come out of like a team meeting?
Yeah, and they were also on. It was signing day.
It was signing day, yeah, exactly. And so then. So then they come to Penn State after signing day.
Right.
And you almost kind of forget what a tough situation that is, because then obviously the last regime had a chance to get their claws in and basically, you know, take all the 26s.
Yes.
So like for them to get to where they're at now, like you got to have some appreciation for that. That is a tough situation that they had to handle, and they handled it great.
Well, that's what I asked him about that time period. I called it, you know, like everything that we're seeing on steroids, because yeah. the transfer portal, the recruiting, all of that, they were put behind the eight ball. But he talked about I asked him, you know, how do you decide? You're essentially in many ways merging two teams, and you had to say, you know, I asked about specific positions where there's a lot of talent on both teams. And his answer, well, we had to make some very hard decisions. And that's what led to this conversation that we had about, you know, cornerback Jontez Williams, who went to USC. And it wasn't so much in my head, you know, I put two and two together and came up with five. I thought, well, there had to be something about this player. Maybe they didn't like what. No, it's just there was no room at the inn because there were still so many returning very good cornerbacks at Penn State. And I don't know if you remember this. He also brought up his the running back who went to Wisconsin, who with Hansen, that, you know, was the two-headed monster there, Abu Sama, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. He was one of the top running backs in the portal, went to Wisconsin. But just as another aside, getting back to this point of how they've either scouted well or coached these guys up, I looked it up. He was listed as the number 11 running back in the portal. So very good portal guy. Do you know what his rank was as a recruit, Mike?
Based on their history, probably like 1,000 something.
Well, he was better than that. Number 712.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes, again, the argument, you know, or the points that you and I made. They're coaching them up and they're scouting them better. So that's, to me, that was really fascinating.
I think that's a really important thing to highlight, Jim, that part. I was just talking to one of my good friends. He lives outside of Columbus, and he's asking for some advice for one of these players. He was talking about like stars and like what this kid should get, right? This kid, he's an underclassman, doesn't have any representation, but he's going to be able to demand high dollar because he's a premium position at defensive tackle. And he's got offers, you know, from Ohio State, Michigan, and everything, right? And so him and his dad were asking, you know, what should we do as far as like ask when it comes into the money thing? I'm like, well, first you want to get somebody trusted that can do this for you as far as an agent to do the negotiations for you. They went and was like, well, we looked it up and it says like if he's a 3-star, he could demand this, or he's a 4-star and demand that. I said, no, dude, don't go off of that. Right. That's not the way to look at this thing. You need to get an agent. Right. And that position, there's a market value. There's somewhat of a market value at a position. Right. And then that agent can leverage that in a good way to get you what you deserve as far as the money. Right. Now, the thing, like we keep hearing about, all right, he was a 3-star when we got this guy, or, you know, he talks about Tyler Warren was a 3-star. There's a million examples, right?
Yeah.
It's because these, to me, it's a domino effect of how advanced these recruiting departments are structured now. That, like I said, they're full NFL front offices now. Like, we refer them to a front office. Derek Hoosier is the general manager. There's two assistant general managers. There's people in charge of the portal, the current players. So we're ahead. These recruiting departments are way ahead of, like, you know, some of the recruiting services, because it's their job to be ahead.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
So you're going to always see like, oh, he was a 3-star. Nope. He just got an Alabama offer. Now he's a 4-star. Penn State just offered him, and now he's, you know, like the offensive lineman. You know, he's the 70th best player in the country. And that's not a knock to recruiting services. It's just the climate of college football and how advanced the infrastructure of recruiting departments are. And the way that this staff recruits, they're looking early for that talent and those traits.
right. We still have lots more to go. As you could tell, we had a wonderful discussion with Derek Hoosier. So much he said to talk about. There's still a couple more points that I want to bring up with you, Mike. We'll do Great. That when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. He's Mike, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four of our show. We're talking about Penn State football and specifically about this great conversation we had with Derek Hoosier last Wednesday, Pine Grove Hall. We've been doing these events, Mike, now for a couple months. This was our fifth one. Just this one was the best. We had a great crowd. We had, players that we interviewed. I'm going back looking at my list. We had Dominic Rucci. By the way, Dom is incredible. Just incredible.
Great kid. He looks great, too. I kept telling him. Yeah. When I saw him, I hadn't seen him for a little bit, and he looks really good coming off that injury.
And we have between him and Brock Riker, both center candidates were there. Brock was very impressive also. A couple of familiar names, Kobe Howard, Quentin Martin. Love talking to both of them. They were great. They both had their moments. You mentioned about Kobe Howard talking about the offense and, that Mauser likes to throw the ball deep. His eyes lit up with that. Quentin Martin, when we talked about the offense and the difference in running backs, he talked about catching the ball out of the backfield. I asked him about that. His eyes lit up there, which I thought was indicative of something. But I want to hit on something. I mentioned that I had spoken to Derek prior to us going on stage, and I asked him about Will Wood. And speaking of eyes lighting up, it was spontaneous. It was instantaneous. He really likes this quarterback.
Yeah, I think all the guys that they take, they really like. I think there's a lot of time and resources in everybody they take, and obviously at the wide or at the quarterback position, there's a huge premium and ton of value on that. And it's just like the NFL. If you don't have a quarterback, you're probably going to get fired, right? So I think he's really excited about the potential of him and him being able to come in and kind of lead the way for the next couple of years. When he gets his chance to play. So that was really good. The one that I got goosebumps about was when he says, look at what we did in the portal with Riker. He was at Texas State, and now he said he's going to be the best center in the country. I was like, wow, that is awesome. That I was like, I talked to Chris about it after. I was like, did you hear him say that?
You said that they seem to like all of their players. Obviously, every staff will tell you they really like. But you can tell when there's a reaction a certain way, when you can look them in the eye and they give you the answer. And he also, and I'm going to kind of conflate two different questions into one answer that he gave, and they both involve like how they recruit. And one of the things that I asked Mike, Matt Campbell has said it, Derek Hoosier has said it, and probably a lot of other coaches and coaching staff say it, that when they recruit, of course, there's something about the money, but there's more to it than that. And I asked the question, what does a recruit have to do in a negative way to make you say, you know what, he's not Penn State material. He's not the kind of guy we wanted. And he talked about not only how they recruited at Iowa State before money was an issue, but as it started to become an issue at Iowa State, he said, we brought guys in that wanted to be here. We wanted them to be here. Essentially, that was settled. Okay, now let's negotiate a fair price. And that seems to be the idea that they're carrying forward here, is we want guys who want to play football, want to be here with us, and we want them here. And then, you know what? When it comes time for compensation, we will be fair about that.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack on that one, I think. It takes me back to the first junior day and Coach Campbell, his message to the recruits. It wasn't like a, you know, selling a dream. It was like the first thing that I got out of it. And if I was a parent, it would resonate with me. I was like, hey, you guys are in the hardest time of your life. This is going to be the biggest decision and it's going to be hard. So we need players that love football, right? Because that's the culture that they're building. Like, it's going to get hard. So when it does get hard, you don't want guys that are just like weak mentally and just want to go in the portal, right? I think that was huge when I heard that. And I thought it was interesting when Derek mentioned, you know, and you asked him about the recruiting. He's like, recruiting, 90% of it is still recruiting. Right.
Yeah.
But then that last 10% is player compensation and negotiation. Right. And I loved how he said, like, you said player compensation and his eyes lit up. He's like, I love that. Because he hates the phrase. What was it?
That it's all NIL. There's more to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, they're treating it just like normal recruiting, sticking to their strategy, but now they have that 10%, which is, you know, the player compensation. And I had to explain that. You know, what's funny is, like, this kid that I mentioned, I was helping my buddy with some advice, and you know, they just have no idea. They just have no idea. Like, this kid has Ohio State, Michigan, and all these others. Like, and he's talking about committing and whatnot. And I was like, oh, so what did they talk numbers? No, like, oh, you got to talk. that's part of this now, and especially this kid's a defensive tackle, and it's going to be able to probably leverage good money. Yeah, you need to get some representation, but just people don't know that yet, and it's just not normal yet. And I think that's why you see a lot of emotions still out there from some of the stuff that happens, you know, through the highs and lows. But the more and more that this thing continues to go down this path, it's just going to be normal. The player compensation part, the business decisions, is more business versus, like, you know, you feel like you lost a girlfriend or somebody broke up with you, or you got a divorce. No, it's just business, right? And just like I keep saying, these guys are thinking like a true general manager, like a Howie Roseman.
Well, I also asked him, Mike, about, in this kind of went off of the money ball question, about things you value that might be different than other staffs. And he talked about, of course, everyone will say this, about players fitting their scheme and how they want to do things. And he told the story of Danton Lynn coming in when he was first coming in, when they were first talking about him, they knew they wanted him. But they also, in conversations with them, realized they didn't have the type of players at certain positions that he wanted. So it's also fitting the scheme that you're doing. Now, the obvious thing to that is we see this with the size of the, especially the interior defensive line, the D tackles, that it told me, Mike, that they have a plan. You know, whether the plan works or not, we're not going to find out till the fall. You know, like you said, they got to win. You got to win games. But at least this sounds like a team, he understood what they were looking for and what they wanted in players.
Yeah, I think that's why I came away like so impressed by him. And obviously, I've dealt with Derek, just being my position with the collective and all that that comes with it. But not so much like in depth, like he went in depth on Wednesday. And he just came out like he just very articulate and confident when he spoke about all the different things. Like you said, like, they have a plan, and you can hear it when he speaks on all of the different parts that you asked them. And that's why I was like, man, we're in a really good spot, because we have Coach Campbell, proven winner, proven culture developer. And now you have with him, you know, his GM, who is a true college GM with full autonomy. And it's really impressive to hear him talking, because I just like put myself in his shoes. I was like, I don't know. I could never do that. Like all the different people he has to deal with. And it's just, it's a ton. And the way that he does it, it's awesome, you know, and he still comes off as just a normal dude.
Well, and I'll tell you what, and let's, you know, transfer what we heard from him and what we learned from him to what's going on in the recruiting world. It's making me more comfortable with what happens. We've had in the last week, you know, a couple cornerbacks switch teams. Not sure they were at the top of this recruiting class anyway. Probably were able to get a better deal, would get on the field quicker. But where the concern is, the players at wide receiver. And the last week we saw Jameer Dean decommit, go to Tennessee. Khalil Taylor and Deshaun Hall, two other wide receivers, highly regarded. Khalil Taylor, the Pennsylvania kid, we're hearing there's a real strong push from Nebraska. Deshaun Hall, the kid from Alabama, real strong push from Auburn. I feel better about those situations, however they end up, after this conversation with Derek Hoosier, that they are under have control of the situation. But I did want to get your take on those three wide receivers, because those are the guys that Penn State fans are thinking about right now.
Yeah, they're all different to me. Their situation and how that kind of all happened, and look, it's not done deal, right? With all these three yet. But so I'll talk on Jameer. I loved him. I love that take. I told you he's a dude, and he is. He did end up flipping, going back to it was Georgia, I think, Jim.
Oh, was it Georgia?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I said Tennessee. Yes, yeah, no. Georgia.
Well, and that's a tough one. But he is a dude, and they probably, you know, were able to, you know, get him with more money. I don't know, you know, I don't know, but he was a dude. Sucks losing him, obviously. Deshaun, I thought the momentum we had was great out of his visit, but that's still tough. A top premier guy from the Southeast in Alabama, and then visiting Auburn. I think he visited Auburn this past weekend. And then Khalil's an interesting one. And I know it's a hot topic right now, but I think this kid has always wanted to be at Penn State. I don't see Nebraska being able to throw out a ton of money that would make us say no, because they still have to be smart. Like, I get optics, right? But, and I talk about it every week, but you can't get carried away with optics and throw away your complete strategy, right? And so that's what I see Khalil being a Penn State Lion at the end of the day. Now, I don't know if that's tomorrow, but I see it happening.
Oh, that would be great if it did. All right, Mike, as usual, went way too fast. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
All of you for tuning in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.